Chalashim for Chalas? Want to bri or fine dine? Stay tuned to Chai FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bagatti for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Hi and welcome to the Essen Fressen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife, and I'm coming to you live, well, recorded last night, all the way from Highlands North, and I have to admit that all we've actually been doing is, for the past few days, essing and fressing. But as I told you last week, every time I went to the kitchen, I made sure that I ran 50 steps. So if I got there to the kitchen before 50 steps, I did 50 steps on the spot. But yesterday I decided that I better open up my cupboard, see what I've got, and decided that I'm going to test myself. Whatever I've got left, that is what we are going to have for the last 2-3 days of Yom Tov. And I must say that I have a lot of tuna, so I'll be sharing some nice tuna recipe with you a little later. But before I start, I have to give a big shout out to Howard Sexton, whom together with Dan Stillerman kept us up to date with everything from comical shows to medical shows and psychological shows where we were exercising our brains and our bodies. And you guys deserve a huge shukuch. It was absolutely incredible. And the rabbis who've been keeping their communities up to date with what we should and what we shouldn't be doing. And, you know, it gets a bit confusing. Like sometimes, you know, a friend will phone and she'll go, now my rabbi said X. And then you go, no. My rabbi said Y. And then you have to go share to the best insight and see. But never mind. We're getting through this and we're ordering it together and we're being positive. And people have been sharing so many things on the internet. It's been incredible. I mean, arts and crafts ideas for children and even for me as a boba. I mean, I've been taking some little plastic containers that I got some salad in, and I've been making little things for my grandchildren. And I'm very proud to say that I've even learned how to knit. Now, I'm not getting all fancy now, just plain, but my mother was the most incredible knit I've ever seen. And because, you know, you always think she's going to be there for the rest of our lives and we'll be warm for the rest of our lives. And sadly, I never learned to knit until I got onto the internet and decided if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it properly. And I made a blanket and knitted a little blanket. So it's been fun, and I must say I've learned quite a bit over the internet, but one thing that was very, very exciting for me in the past 2 weeks, and I have to say this, I mean, I'm humbled, and I feel embarrassed, and everybody says, why, but that's just me, but I have been absolutely touched by the phone calls, the emails, the SMSs, messages, WhatsApp. I mean, that covers social media for me, I think, to wish me Mazel Tov on coming third in the Best in the World Gourmand Awards for Jewish Books. I mean, I was so shocked, but more excited that South Africa, with its smallish Jewish community, is such a powerful one. We are knockouts, guys, but we all know that. And it was just so amazing because my book is called A Taste of South Africa with a Kosher Butcher's Wife. And just to be acknowledged, little South African Jewish community, be acknowledged like this has blown me away. So that was just a little thank you to anyone, everybody. But it's back to Pesach and all things Pesach Day. And I'm going to share some very easy recipes because Yontif is actually so small in people, that is, of course. And basically, we've only got, what, about 4 meals left to prepare. So between the eggs and the little bit of matzah and the matzah meal and the cake meal and whatever I've got left over, we're going to have a little bit of fun. But we were actually laughing. I mean, really, this lockdown has really brought out the sense of humor in us. And yesterday I was actually saying, my son was saying, he said, "Mom, what is it that we've got all our Jewish food has got such like funny names? I mean, like Gribbenitz and gefilte fish and schmaltz and anything that rhymes with squish is, I mean, why can't we have things like an entree of pâté de foie gras on a lightly toasted French crisped base? Or why do we have to have chopped liver on matzah?" So anyway, so everybody or the family have all been posting in French what they've been making for supper. And it was actually quite funny. We have, so we've had brisket, which has been in a marinara of Bordeaux French wine and French baby onions and le pomme de terre. And if you don't know what that is, it's just basically brisket with wine and potatoes and onions, which I'm going to share with you a little later. Then, of course, somebody else sent through consomme with ground meat patisserie puffs, which is basically chicken soup and Kremsler. So we've been having a lot of fun with that. And after the break, I'll be sharing some recipes with you.
Chalashing for chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? Stay tuned to Chai FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bugatti for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Welcome back to the Essen Fressen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's wife. Let me get my recording things in order here. And I'll be sharing a couple of recipes with you for the last few days. And basically what I've done is I've challenged myself to not to go near a shop and just to make do for the two of us what's left in the cupboard. So what's left, as I said, a lot of tuna. I made lots of pickled vegetables for Yontif this year. Thank God there's some cabbage, pickled cabbage left and some potato salad. But the tinned tuna was actually, it's a joint recipe between my friend Lee and I. And this is tuna fish balls with crayonnaise. So what you'll need is 3 tins of tuna drained, 1 tablespoon of dried parsley, 2 tablespoons of mayonnaise, 2 eggs, and about 3/4 to 1 cup of matzo meal. So the eggs should be lightly beaten. And then what you do is, most important thing, a cup of mashed potatoes. Now, they can be mashed potato that you've got in the fridge, which thank goodness I had, and it didn't make up a full cup, but doesn't matter. I put that in. But if you want to, what you can do is just either boil them in your jackets, or you can make some mashed potato, or put in the microwave. I put mine in the microwave, and then I just peeled it and mashed it all up, and add a little bit of salt and pepper, and fry them on medium to hottish oil, but don't put too many in. Otherwise, you know, sometimes the fish doesn't, although the tuna is cooked, I mean, sometimes the eggs doesn't look so great, but you want it to be a lovely golden brown. And then you just take some chrain and you mix it with a little bit of mayonnaise. You know what strength you like your chrain to be. And that's what it's all about. Now, this year, my husband and I, or more my husband, decided we are going to make chrein. So, I mean, this was like a comedy of errors. Out comes my mother's Kenwood, which she handed over to me from her Pesach kitchen. And it works absolutely beautifully. But the liquidizer on the top I don't know, that somehow vanished. I don't know where that went to, but we couldn't put the liquid ice on top. So we thought we'd put the grater on. The grater didn't fit in properly. I think the dial or something's had gone. So my husband tells me. So we couldn't mince. We couldn't put in the liquidizer. So I thought, okay, we'll cut it up very small. I mean, I know you can grate it, but wow, what a business to grate it. Cut it up small and we put it into my food processor. Well, we made the best grain we've ever made. I mean, this was a real winner this year. But guess what? My food processor went, oh. So then I have to go and make my sauces. You know, I always make my herb sauce and my peri-peri sauces before I start Pesach. So at least I can just go to the fridge, take it out and throw it on the meat and finished. What happens? Put the blender on. That also packed in. So there's like three things in one yontif that I didn't have. So what did I do? Go to the kashrut book and see how I make something kosher for Pesach. How am I going to make my Nutribullet Pesedik? And there it was, all there in front of me in the Beth Din book, how to kosher my Nutribullet. So this year we had the most amazing crane. And what I just, a friend of mine actually phoned me and she said to me, Sharon, please, I've got so much. I've actually got a whole packet of quinoa left over. Because, you know, we have to check it before we buy it and before Pesach comes in. And she says, I've got the chia seeds as well. Well, those chia seeds are fantastic if you put them into a salad dressing. And it almost looks like the poppy seed salad dressing. But she wanted to do something with quinoa. So I'm going to give you a recipe now for quinoa vegetable burgers. And you can also serve those with the chrein. These are actually best served hot or as they come off a frying pan. And you can make up the mixture before frying. So, I mean, make it up this afternoon or tomorrow or whenever. And you can freeze it. But I mean, there's only 2 days left. So stick it in the fridge. And this can actually be served as an alternative for fish or meatballs, dare I say it, for vegetarians. So, the burger ingredients are 1 cup cooked quinoa as per the instructions on the packet. Sorry, so it's 1 cup of raw quinoa cooked as per, I think it's 2 to 1 water, as per instructions on the packet. You'll need 1 onion, 2 carrots, 1 small red pepper, 1 small green pepper, about a handful of flat leaf parsley or fresh coriander. Oh, I've got a vegetable garden here. Yeah, since the lockdown, we've been growing our own fruit and vegetables. Anyway, you can use flat leaf parsley or fresh coriander and about 35 grams. That's one of those packets or whatever you feel like putting in, a handful or so. 1/2 teaspoon of crushed fresh garlic. 1 teaspoon of finely grated fresh ginger. 1/2 teaspoon of fresh chili. Those are the bird's eye chili. So you can just chop up a bird's eye chili. Use gloves. And I'm sure that plenty of you have got gloves in your house. Because dare not go out without our gloves on. And 1 large potato boiled with the skin on. And then I cool it and then mash it. Or you can put it in the microwave before you want to cool it and mash it. You'll also need to add 1/2 teaspoon of salt. You may need a little bit more. 1 teaspoon of vegetable stock powder. 1 teaspoon of cumin. 1 tablespoon matzo meal or potato flour. Some people don't like to use matzo meal. And 2 extra large eggs lightly beaten. So although it sounds like there's a lot here, remember that a lot of it is fresh ingredients. So, you know, I'm sure you've got some peppers, definitely got onions. I'm sure you've got onions and carrots left over. small red pepper, green pepper, coriander, parsley, a little bit of garlic, ginger, chili, potato, and salt, and vegetable stock. If you don't use vegetable stock, then just use extra salt, a little bit of cumin, as I said, a tablespoon of matzo meal or potato flour, and 2 extra large eggs, slightly beaten. And I was ripped over the knuckles the other day for giving out recipes far too quickly, Sharon. You go far too quickly and we can't get the recipes. So I don't know if we're going to have time to put this up on the screen, on the Chai FM screen. But so that's why I repeated it twice. Now, just a little tip here. Well, let me tell you how to do it. So we place the onions, carrots, peppers, coriander, garlic, and ginger into your unbroken food processor. Or you can put it into your blender or liquidizer, whatever you want, and pulse it until it's smooth. And, I mean, it can also be finely grated if you don't have any of that. If you don't have a food processor, as I don't, but I have my NutriBullet, and that's worth cashing if you have one. And then I add the cooled quinoa, which is cooked according to the recipe on the packet. Otherwise, just do 2 cups of water. If you've thrown the packet away, 2 cups of water to 1 cup of quinoa, and then you leave the lid on after the water's boiled out. Now, what I found this time, what I enjoyed, and I found it not so rough, but if you prefer textured things, then it's fine. You can leave the quinoa as it is. I put mine into the food processor as well, the quinoa with the vegetables, and then I added the mashed potato, and then the salt and the pepper and the cumin and the matzo meal, or the potato starch, and I mixed it until it was well combined, because if you blend potatoes, they go glutinous and they go funny. And then you add the eggs and you mix it until it's all well incorporated. They must be quite firm, so you may have to add a little more potato starch or a little more matzo meal to it, but it should be okay. You should manage. If it's slightly wet, don't worry. Wet your hands and then roll it into golf-sized balls, and then you flatten them slightly to resemble small burgers. And you fry them in a little bit of oil on medium heat on both sides until golden brown. And you can serve that with horseradish or the grenades, which is mayonnaise mixed with the horseradish, and that's it. And they're actually quite tasty, I must say. So I serve that if I'm trying to hide vegetables from people. Now, we had a lovely brisket, and it's called a vino brisket. Vino wine brisket. And for those who have any red wine left over, then here is one for you. Actually, it was quite fun because I helped my daughter-in-law over FaceTime in London prepare hers, and she used top rib. And it was, as my son said, he said, "Ma, I don't know what it is." He said, after your interview, he phoned, and he said, "It gets better and better each day." So, I don't know, but this one doesn't eat carrots, and that one won't eat celery, and this one doesn't eat that. But you have to have something sweet with the red wine. So what I did was, after the sad saga of the food processor and the blender, but still I got beautiful grain out of it, I put about 4 carrots chopped up into the NutriBullet, and I filled it with water, and I blended it until it really was smooth. And then what I did was I fried my piece of meat. It was just a small piece of meat because it's just the 2 of us. And I fried the meat. It's about 1 kilo with I rubbed a little bit of potato starch on the outside, salt and pepper. And I didn't use a pickled brisket, it was a raw brisket. And I fried it, and then I added about 6 or 7 large onions. Now, you're going to say to yourself, are you crazy? 6 or 7 onions, that sounds ridiculous. Okay. They somehow, with age, and the more you put them on the stove to warm it up, or in the oven, or in the chilling pot, as I did with mine, they somehow disintegrate, and oh, it's just the most wonderful, wonderful taste. So I added the onions. So I took the meat out, put it in the chilling pot, because remember, chilling pots don't turn the meat brown. So you have to fry it yourself first. Then I added, now my daughter-in-law in London does not have a chilling pot for Pesach, so she put hers into a cooking bag. And then we fried the meat, then we fried the onions, and we added the 2 cups of red wine to the onions, a little bit of tomato paste, you know, those little square things. I'm sure you've got some left over. And we put it into, I put mine into the crock pot. She put hers into a sealed baking bag, plastic, not plastic, you know, those oven-proof bags. And she put hers in for about 6 hours on 170, and I put mine in the whole day. I just let it go from morning till night, and it was absolutely delicious. And if you want to have it for Yontov lunch the next day, leave it in the crock pot. Doesn't matter. All it will do is just fall apart. It's just absolutely delicious. And, oh, the carrots. Once I'd fried the onions, I added the carrots. So nobody knows that there's carrots in it, but it just gives it a lovely taste. So I added the carrots and stuck it in the oven, and that was it. It was as easy as that. And in fact, we ate it for 3 meals. One meal we had it with mashed potato. Now you can put baby potatoes if you want. I mean, baby potatoes on the side. Delicious. In fact, I left the skin on mine, just scrubbed them well. And, or you can put regular potatoes, but if they don't have a skin on, somehow I find they just mash up to nothing. So, after the break, I will come back to you with some more recipes with more leftovers.
Chalashing for chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? Stay tuned to Chai FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bugatti for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Welcome back to the Essen Fressen show. I'm Sharon Lurie, and I'm trying to give you a couple of tips with leftover things that you may have in your fridge, in your cupboard. I know that I bought those shoestring chips. I'm going to put that on top of some, on top of cottage pie. Because although you bake the potato, it just gives it that extra bit of crunch. I think Sylvan Siegel made them, or Fresh Fellas have got them. Another thing is soup. Now, tonight my husband said, Shah, oh, I'm tired of the vegetable soup and I'm tired of the chicken soup. But I must say though, the knedelach, the blintzes and the chremsach were a hit this year. But we decided that we're going to make something different. And in honor of my English family, I think this is in my second book, it could even be there, English cucumber soup. Now, this can be made parov, or it can be made dairy, but I'm sure we're all going to be making it parov. And I always say, you know, that for 8 days of the year, one huge pot of soup is enough to keep us going. But somehow, halfway through Pesach, as I said, everybody's tired of the same old soup. So I land up making another one. And this one normally falls on the other end of the traditional scale, but it's still delicious. And in fact, what made me think of this English cucumber soup was that when I was clearing out the fridge, I found quite a bit of cucumbers that I forgot to pickle. So, you'll need a little oil for frying, 2 onions, peeled and chopped, 2 cloves of garlic, chopped, 3 potatoes, peeled and chopped into small cubes, 8 cups of water, so that's 2 liters of water, 6 cucumbers, 4 of them you wash, seed and cube, okay, peel and cube, and 2 cucumbers you just wash and coarsely grate. And you'll need 2 cups of vegetable liquid stock. So that is, I put in 3 cubes dissolved in 2 cups of boiling water, 2 vegetable cubes. And I bought some coconut milk to try this year. It's the first time ever. And so I've been using that. Now, coconut milk also, if you want to, you can make a delicious butternut soup, which is also a good idea if you've got butternut left over from your turf, which I'm sure you have, because I remember we could get those specials for the big bags of butternut onions that I can't remember where it was. Anyway, so I do also have some of those left over, which I'm going to use. And I put in 1 cup of that coconut milk, because I haven't seen that non-dairy cream anywhere. And this coconut milk is really great. 2 teaspoons of salt and 1 teaspoon of pepper. So what you do is you heat the oil in a soup pot and you fry the onions and garlic until soft. Now, if you want to, I was actually talking to a friend of mine earlier who said, nah, she hasn't got any cucumbers left over. What else can she use? I said, then use, you can use leeks. Chop up leeks. So instead of the leeks, instead of the cucumber, use leeks. What you do is you heat the oil in a soup pot, a nice big soup pot, and you fry the onions and the garlic until it's soft. Add the potatoes and 4 cups of the water. Okay, so that will be 1 liter of water, and boil until the potatoes are lovely and soft. Okay, now we don't want to add any of the cubes and the rest of the stuff, because then the potatoes don't get soft. Okay, now, if you're using leeks, then you can fry the leeks with the onions. But if you're using cucumbers, don't do that. We want to add the cucumber cubes and the rest of the water, which is 1 liter, and we want to bring that to the boil. And once it's boiling, because the cucumbers will cook quickly, so once it's boiling, reduce the heat, put on the lid, and you simmer it for about a further 25 minutes. Okay, and then you remove it from the heat. Add the vegetable stock and the coconut milk, that cup of coconut milk, and just blend it with a hand blender until it's smooth. Then you add the grated cucumber. So now you're getting nice textures. You've got the smoothness of the cucumber because you blended it. Now you're going to have grated cucumber. Salt. It may need quite a bit more salt. Just taste it and check it. May need a little bit more pepper, because remember that the potatoes absorb a lot or need a lot of salt. And once boiling, reduce the heat and allow it to simmer with the lid on for another 15 minutes. Then switch it off and allow the soup to stand for a while so that all those lovely flavors develop. Now, it's meant to be quite a thick soup. However, if you feel it's just a little too thick, then add a little bit more vegetable stock or a little bit more of the coconut milk. Now, the coconut milk comes in the 1 liter cardboard boxes. I think it's Geffen, I'm not quite sure. And then sometimes if I've got any Israeli cucumbers, I finally chop or grate 2 to 3 Israeli cucumbers, because they really are lovely and crispy. And I sprinkle a teaspoon or 2 cold on top of the soup just before serving. Now, you can also put on, if you don't want to do that, you can put those lovely shoestring crisps on top, or those vegetable crisps that you can get, just crush them up and put them on top. You know, there's all sorts of things you can do, but this is always, this English cucumber soup has always been a hit at the end of a long chicken soup, vegetable soup, gremslach kind of Pesach. Welcome back to the Essen Fressen show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife, and I've given you a couple of ideas of things that you've got left over. And there was one thing I know that I've got quite a bit of leftovers is the oil, the eggs, and the sugar. And my cake meal. So I thought, you know, I made my apple cake, which I do every year, which is always a hit, and each child takes a quarter of it. But this year, I'm going to make mandelbrot for the last few days of Pesach, because it's just something that you can serve. You can have a cup of black coffee after the meals. You know, you can give it to the kids, a couple of boxes here and there. But it's basic. It's a quite a simple recipe, and it's really worth it. Just get this recording all organized. Okay, you will need 3 eggs, 3/4 cup of oil, 1 cup of sugar, 2 tablespoons of lemon juice, zest, 1 teaspoon zest of the lemon, 1 teaspoon cinnamon, 1/2 teaspoon salt, 1 cup of cake meal, 1/4 cup of matzo meal, 2 tablespoons of potato starch, and something that I've got left over is a sliver of almonds. So we're going to have mandelbrot with almond nuts in it. And then something that I like to do afterwards, which I'll tell you about, I love putting a nice crumb topping on top, cinnamon and sugar and all that kind of stuff. So let me just get on with the mandelbrot. And all you have to do is you beat 3 eggs with 1 cup of sugar, you add the oil, and you beat it until it's really nice and light and cream. You add 2 tablespoons of lemon juice. Turn the machine down. You can use a whisk if you want to. You don't have to use a machine. You can use a whisk. It works very well. 2 tablespoons lemon juice and the zest of the lemon. Then you can add the cinnamon, 1 teaspoon of cinnamon, 1/2 teaspoon of salt. And then you fold in your cup of cake meal, 1/4 cup of matzo meal, 2 tablespoons of potato starch, and 1 cup of the almonds. And just mix it all together. And if you find that it's not firm enough, you want to put it on a large baking sheet, okay? And you bake it at 170 for about 45. I like them very crispy, so I like them to be cooked for about 40 minutes, and then I switch the oven off and leave them in. Then they get nice and crispy and crunchy. And what I do is I make like long sort of polony style mandelbrot, and then I put them on a tray and pack them firmly together because they will spread. Okay, and then let it cook and let it bake. And then as it comes out, I quickly paint, or even while it's still in, you know, those at last 10 minutes that it's going to be sitting in the oven, I paint apricot jam on top, and I sprinkle some, a little bit of cinnamon and sugar on top. Then when it comes out of the oven and it's still warm, you slice it up into little slices, what about a centimeter, 2 centimeters. And it's absolutely delicious, and they say easy to make. So for those people that have got left over, they've got cake meal and a little bit of matzo meal and a little bit of potato starch and some nuts. Now, if you want to, you don't have to use almonds. I just went quickly to have a look and see what nuts I've got. So I've got almonds. I'll be using almonds. You can use pecan nuts. You can use walnuts. Any nut you want. You can even use pine nuts. They're delicious. And that's it. And then at least you've got some biscuits that you can eat for the 3 days. Because I think if I see another ice cream, another piece of chocolate ice cream, or if I see another heavy cake, I think I'm going to platz. So anyway, I hope that I have given you some ideas with what's left over in my book. You've also got, in my second book, Celebrating with the Kosher Butcher's Wife, there's charoset muffins. So, you can make those if you want. There's lots to make with leftovers. So enjoy your leftovers for the last few days. And the mandel pot are actually very nice because you're going to be staying indoors. You can make it with flour afterwards, after Pesach. And have a good kosher last few days. Be well, stay well, be healthy, and looking forward to joining you soon, live in the studio. I hope it won't be too long, and Chag Sameach, everybody.